All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, I would like you to meet my good friend, the Falcon.
Oh.
It's just a Falcon.
I like a Falcon.
Decided to pick up. I really wanted one of these guys. Got myself a little aviary. And figured
we'd turn into the Falconry tax bracket.
Like a Saudi prince.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're here in your palatial shit covered 1-4 house in Dubai.
my palatial 900 square foot slab house. Yep. In a town that just got a grocery store. Yeah, cool.
I meant to ask you about that because you mentioned getting a grocery store. Uh-huh. How many bars does the town have?
3 or 4.
I always hate that. Like when I'm in a small town, there are like 4 bars, but no grocery stores. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it, but it grosses me out.
No, it sucked. And I've talked about it enough on Twitter. But I have been getting lots of food for Falcon, at the store, you know, mm-hmm. cold cuts, little Debbie's. He's real sick. But that means he's real hungry for what he actually wants, which is Vols. So I have written the name of a bunch of games on the back of some Vols. I'm going to open up this little pen. I'm going to take the hood off Falcon here. He's going to go after and grab one of these bad boys and bring it back. And that will be the name.
Nice. Oh, it's sad. He is very sick. He's just walking after the Vol.
Yeah, no.
It's depressing. It's extremely depressing, dude.
Yeah.
The saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, no.
He's slower than the fucking Vol. Here, let me feed this Vol a bunch of McNuggets.
Okay. And
through the magic of editing, we've now fed the Vols the Super Size Me diet.
Yes. Yeah.
From the Morgan Spurlock film of the same name.
Yeah.
So Falcon can catch up to them on foot.
Yeah. And the Vol is just kind of like, just like walking directly at the hawk. I don't think he wants to live anymore.
No. It's one of the saddest randomizations we've ever done.
Yeah.
If you give an animal a lot of bad food, they do want to die.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what we've learned.
Yeah, and he's just kind of licking the Vol. He doesn't recognize it as food anymore. Yeah. Let me pick up the Vol on the back.
Let me crumble some Captain Crunch on the Vol.
Okay. Just bread in like a weird, gross chicken tender.
Yeah. Like we just gotta jazzmatazz this Vol up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like crushing up some cauliflower and putting it in the kids' food so they get some veggies.
Yeah. Like the opposite of that.
Okay, and he spit up the this one is I was going for it. Cool. It says Corn Cob 3D.
This game is good, but I have other stuff I want to talk about.
I'll kill you.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Piss Boys, a show about piss just for boys.
Yeah. Get over here.
Before we get into it real quick. I have a bit, but I also have, look at this cursed image I found. I'm putting the Slack.
Oh, okay. Here. Let me pull it up.
Help me parse this out.
What do we have? What is this?
It's not cursed the way like Waluigi Blast and Rope or whatever. It's for an advertisement I saw for a heated vest.
Huh.
This is a weird image.
That is a very strange. Well, this is an arm.
Who is this guy?
This is an armless man. I think maybe to demonstrate that this is a vest, like, hey, no arms, no problem, which I think is that's the motto of this brand. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not very photogenic for like a model. Like he certainly looks like an area stepdad to me.
He does. He's got, I'm pretty impressed by that mustache. Like that is the length and bushiness of a mustache that would like get in the way of life. So his commitment to that is actually really impressive. You know what? Like the mustache and the hair and the glasses, it makes me think that he is the person who invented this.
He could be the inventor of the heated vest.
Yeah.
And he's is also the model like Townsend.
Yes.
The Townsend catalog has him dressed in all the different frocks.
No, it's especially cursed because you have him facing you, no arms. He's looking up heroically. Like he's looking at a comet that's descending toward the earth. And he's like, I'm gonna stop this comet, god damn it. And then there's also a back view, except instead of no arms, there's also no head. So he's standing back to back. It's like the cover of Contra, but or the opening screen of Contra, but one doesn't have a head. Neither of them have arms.
And they're both wearing like a super vest.
Yeah, they're both wearing
red heating coils that glow.
Yeah, just kind of superimposed on it to show that, yes, there is this hooks up to a battery pack. Yeah, that's pretty cursed.
Yeah, it's just a very strange image.
Kirsty Alley.
Yeah, very, very Kirsty Alley. Yeah. Second thing before we get into this.
Okay.
Kill some time. I got a bit. It's not quite a character.
Okay.
But it is a scenario. It is an acting exercise for you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. In this scenario, I have become disgraced somehow to where there's no duck feed.
Okay.
Okay. I'm out. You've had to take up odd jobs.
Okay.
Okay. And because of the economy and lack of other options available and stuff, this is all premise stuff. You can't reject this stuff. This okay. is, you do not right. have control yet.
No, I'm not going to be a will. I'm not just going to say no, but.
Yeah. He constantly does that shit. If yeah. I'm coming up with something, he just immediately tries to reject it so he can talk more. You've taken up a job where your job is to hang out with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and you bring them Monster Energy.
Okay.
So every day with cereal or with just for the day, they each drink a couple Monsters.
Okay.
Four guys in the band. And you come in, you know, you've been instructed, like you don't make eye contact with the Chili Peps. You don't talk to them or anything. You just come in, you give them each their preferred flavor of Monster.
Okay.
And then you leave the room.
All right.
Okay. In this scenario, you've come in with your four Monsters. You know, you give Anthony like, you know, Blast Force Grape, and you give Flea, you know, Citrus, Afterbirth, and you get John Frusciante like Watermelon, Cucamonga, and what's his head? Will Ferrell.
Chad Smith.
Yes. Yeah. And as you're getting up to leave, Flea is like, hold up.
Oh.
And then
oh.
now you have control. Now we're in the scene.
Yes, sir. Yes, mister.
And we've me and the guys have been talking, and we really like your sound.
Nice.
You just got a cool vibe around you.
I mean, I appreciate it. I don't really, how do you know my sound, sir?
Oh, just your vibe. The Peps are not about, you know, yeah. instrumentation. Like it just, you know, you have a right. good vibe. I'm okay. thinking, how'd you like to be the fifth Pep?
How would I like to be the fifth Pep? I mean, okay. Huh? I'm honored. First off, thank you. This job is coming to a really good time for me. I can kind of play guitar. I can kind of do a little bit of everything. Do you want like a backup singer? I can, I'm not going to try and upstage Anthony, of course.
All you're saying is Anthony has his head down in his hands and he's just kind of grooving.
Okay. No. I'm not. I don't want to pull focus. Obviously, if you brought me in, I'd like to pay my dues. Like, what did you have in mind, Mr. Flea?
Well, first of all, we have to do the audition.
Okay.
And he tosses you a six pack of crew socks.
Okay. Cool. I've been looking for new socks. Do you guys still do this? I apologize. I'm so busy getting the. Getting the Monsters ready for you guys. You guys still do the cock socks, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, these work all three ways, these socks. And sometimes we don't do it on stage anymore, but we just do it in general.
Oh, it's kind of a bonding thing at this point. Yeah. Okay.
And I don't want to put any pressure on you, but if you don't accept this position as the fifth Pep, you have to start washing the socks. And if you don't want to do that, then you're going to be around the world on the other side and buried under a bridge somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get it. That's a few, it's like your songs. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all right. Thank you, Mr. Flea. All right. So is there like a room that I can go to?
And
to...
they all start chanting socks.
Okay.
Socks. And Anthony Kiedis, whose head is down, starts pulling on his hair. Like I think you should leave. Like, let me think about it for a second.
Okay.
That thing. He's going, socks.
Okay, they're really getting into it. So I'm gonna roll a spot check. Do I see any like cameras in here? Is this like a prank?
None that you can see.
Okay.
If anybody has put a camera here, it might be Mike Patton, who has a long ongoing feud.
I think Mike Patton's dead as fuck.
Is it Mike Patton?
No. Mike Patton is still alive. I may be thinking of, I'm definitely thinking of Stone Temple of Pilots guy. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of General Patton. Yeah. You remember when the guy who wrote and performed Epic, chased down Erwin Rommel, the desert fox?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's easy to mix them up.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Patton, they have an ongoing feud.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. So he might have put a hidden camera, but there's no visible camera. Okay. And the enchanting is getting now more intense.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, I mean, fuck it. Let's do this. All right. Here we go. So I'm going to just unbuckle, unzip.
With every action you do, the Chili Peppers are reacting. So, like, you take off your belt buckle and, like, he's like, yeah. And then as soon as you unzip, like, Chad and John Frusciante, like, give each other a high five and, like, make eye contact. And, like, they put their fingers together and make that noise with their tongue. And they're just really reacting to every disrobe.
Okay. All right.
Action.
Yeah. I whip my shirt off and I kind of do like I do like an Arsenio, whip around your head, like a helicopter kind of deal. You know,
spicy.
Yeah. Toasty. Yeah. And boom, just kind of comes in. Yeah. We're in Chicago. This is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then, oh shit, Gary.
Hmm?
Oh, DM. Whatever.
It today?
No. I'm down to my underwear, but I realize I don't know how they make them stay on.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I never studied the trick. I don't know what the peps do. Cause like, I mean, they're not out there at full mast, right?
Not that often.
Right. And like, I could, you know, obviously you're not just putting it, wait a second. I've never like paid attention. Did they just put it around the cock or is it around the whole kit?
If you don't remember, then your character doesn't remember.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So my best shot at this is full kit. Okay.
Probably need the balls to like provide enough circumference for a standard tube. I mean, that's not talking trash about your genitals.
Just thinking about the general circumference that a person would provide. Okay, so I'm just gonna do this. But what I don't want to have happen is to have somebody laugh at me like the first time I tried putting on a condom in front of a girl and then I tried to like get my balls in there.
Is that true?
No, it's not. Okay. It's that'd be real fun.
We're going to talk about the game. I was going to camp out of that for a half hour. And then like, we'd cancel the rest of the recording. Like the network would come about that.
I figured that'd be a real fun thing to say.
You could probably jam them in there one at a time, but they would line up.
Okay, so I decide to whole hog, and by which I mean whole hog and all the rest.
First you got the kit and then you got the caboodle.
Yeah So the underpants down, jam this in here, and I'm doing kind of a it's kind of like the video for Give It Away where they're like getting up on the camera, you know, like doing the big arm wave, like almost like pointing at it, kind of. I'm kind of doing that, but just like generally around the room.
Okay. Yeah. And they're digging it. Like, lots of like little pepper noises.
Okay. There's ambiently pepping. Okay. Album. Yeah.
Just, you know, and just really excited. Like it almost seems like they're devolving as it's happening. Like they're just kind of like dancing, rubbing their belly and rolling around on their back. And
they're in a frenzy and they're fully clothed at this point. I'm the only one who is. Yeah.
Like they're just really excited because this is what happens when they meet.
Yeah, No, I'm fully committed at this point. Like, if this is my audition and if this makes me part of the team, I'm a team player, Gary, you know, I'm not here team to hog. Yeah. I'm a team pepper. Whatever situation I'm in, I'm looking to be the facilitator. Okay. And right. if I can keep the energy up and if I can be that for this group of people who have touched so many people's lives. Even mm-hmm. though they're not personally to my taste, then yeah, I'm gonna put on a hell of a show with them. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and they're loving it.
Okay.
You know, every single one of them, they're digging it.
I start doing muscle man poses, you know?
Yep. Right. And they're at this point, like while you're doing the muscle man poses, they're like hanging off of you like really excited kids being picked up from a daycare.
Okay.
You know, like, you know how every once in a while a kid will just like run up and like mount you like a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
they run and jump on you like the bad guys from Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like these, they would end up hindering your attempts at escape at this point.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to escape, you know? They start grabbing me and I just kind of like pick them up and spin them, you know, and I'm going, yeah, after all my
as you're nude spinning the peppers with your cock sock mm-hmm. out, they start like smelling different like kind of scent points on you, so, like your armpit, your glands, and kind of ears. You know,
I'm starting to get a little bit weird. I step up on the coffee table onto the couch just to give myself a little bit of distance from them. Let's say.
Yeah. And yeah. They scale you like Shadow of Colossus at this point, trying to get up to your armpits. Just like,
oh God, I'm doomed. Like, aren't I? All that's going to be left is a skeleton.
Like, you know how when you have two cats and they love each other, every once in a while, one of them just aggressively rims the other one. You know, and it's real awkward. Like, you're just sitting there and just like, Jesus.
Yeah. I just, cool. I know this means different things, but for real girls. Yeah. Yeah.
Get a carrier. Yeah. It's super weird. They're like that, but with your armpits.
Okay.
And just like, it's like, they're just absolute ambrosia coming off of your pipe.
I'm pretty innocent. Guys, come on, guys. That's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sublingual peppers that they've devolved into, the red hot sublingual peppers.
Okay.
Don't seem to understand you. Like, there's like foaming at their mouth literally as they're like, you know, biting your back hair, ripping it off, and then like getting into Liddy and the Tramp tug of wars with your back hair.
No.
You know, just kind of really, and at this point they've kind of broken off, like Chad and Flea have fallen off and they're just on the ground like rolling around.
Yeah, so the rhythm section, they're in their own kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. They've formed their own little team within a team. All right. This whole time.
Okay.
And then at this point, Anthony Kiedis turns icy cold calm.
Okay.
Dismounts from you, walks over, and he presents to you a metal case that has your name on it.
Okay.
And slowly holds it up to you. And the other peps at this point have become solemn.
Okay.
And are all on their knees around you. So you're on the table. Your arms are spread because you were providing monkey bars for the sublingual peps.
Okay.
And it's a little bit like the end scene of Hereditary.
Okay.
As they present this to you, like the eerie silence, like the rhythmic snorkeling they're just making as they animalistically took in your scent and your taste is now replaced with an eerie silence.
Yeah. And he says, "You are the Funkopotamus." Calmly, I slowly reach for the case. Okay. And I look to Anthony, still a little bit uncertain, cause like that got weird.
Yeah.
But I look, I just kind of, I kind of like nod toward it and say, is this okay? Do you want me to open it?
He doesn't change, but you can tell in his eyes. He's almost pleading for you to take it, the case from him.
Okay. So I take it, and is it what? Is it just a simple latch? Like I open it.
Yeah. Foil Charizard.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, guys.
He gives you a high five, pat you on the ass, and sends you on your way.
Yeah. Other Side's a really good song. I still like that song quite a bit. Awesome, guys. Thanks. That's my bonus.
And scene. have you ever read the Wikipedia entry for Anthony Kiedis?
No.
there's a section here. He has a feud with Mike Patton.
Okay.
That is unfucking believable.
Okay.
Like, let me link it to you. We will talk about corn cobs, but check this out. The second paragraph is huge, like too long, didn't read energy.
Okay.
But there are incredible bits inside this.
Wow.
So yeah, check this out. You know, go down to the subheading feud with Mike Patton under drug addictions. And you know, so the beginning, like they got into a fight because Anthony Kiedis didn't like Mike Patton replacing the singer for Mr. Bungle. The lowest stakes nonsense in history.
Imagine. Just what the fuck is Mr. Bungle?
What? It's one of Mike Patton's horrible experimental bands.
Okay.
Don't at me. Mike Patton makes non-music googly goops for children.
He's good. He brings good energy to voice acting stuff. Like he does good work as the Left 4 Dead guys. What's that? What?
Yeah. He just growls. Like he just
goes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's him. That's his whole thing.
That's his whole thing. But like it just, you know, it's like he does a good job as the Left 4 Dead special Infected. It's kind of like Frank Welker, right? You know, you bring Frank Welker in to, if you need good animal sounds, you bring Mike Patton in if you need monster sounds, it's fine.
So they got, you know, they have this feud.
Okay.
Going on for a while. They kept kind of making fun of each other and parodying each other.
Okay.
With Mike Patton specifically calling out Anthony Kiedis' drug use in a shitty way.
That's shitty.
Like if it's real, it's worse. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, change the lyrics, their songs about being junkies. Yeah. And shit.
So they covered several of the bands. So, Faith No More covered, Mr. Bungle covered several of the band's songs with Patton deliberately using incorrect lyrics, such as "Sometimes I feel like a fucking junkie on Under the Bridge."
Read the next sentence out loud.
In the middle of the concert, bassist Trevor Dunn, dressed as Flea, walked up to guitarist Spruance, dressed as the ghost of Hillel Slovak. Oh my God.
Right?
Holy shit.
Well, Hillel Slovak is the guy who died.
Yeah, he was the guitarist who died. Yeah.
The horrible section on the Red Hot Chili Peppers about lyrics and themes.
Yeah.
Talks about how he used to write a lot about partying in California, but then when his friend died, he started writing about more serious subjects like friendship in California. he died of a heroin overdose.
Oh my God. That's
and
fucking.
Mr. Bungle are mock executing their dead OD'd friend.
Wait a minute. Yeah. What
10 years later.
To guitarist. So yeah, they walked up to guitarist Spruance dressed as the ghost of Hillel Slovak and simulated injecting him with heroin. Patton, dressed as Kiedis, interrupted this by shouting, "You can't shoot up a ghost."
What the fuck, right?
Oh my God. I sentence
of that paragraph.
Just more beef here, but at the very end, Patton continued to mock Kiedis in the medias with his new in the media. Kiedis in the medias. In the media, with his new band Fantoma, calling him a noodle dick in a 2001 television interview. Oh my God! I never expected to say this. I am 100% on Anthony Kiedis' side.
I know it's real weird.
I'm on Chill Pep. Yeah.
Several publications such as Complex and the Phoenix New Times have listed the Kiedis Patton feud as being one of the best beefs in the history of rock. Others have labeled it a quote unquote funk metal feud.
And more accurately, absurd. Yes, absurd.
This is what we like to call a funk metal feud.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Just because this ropes in another kind of ass, another asshole entirely. In August, I'm sorry that we're just reading Wikipedia, but this is
it's fucking incredible.
It's the craziest. So, okay. So in August of 2016, so think back to the August of 2016 and how fucking unacceptable everything was. Anyway.
Yes.
Fox News host Greg Gutfeld. Host of Gutfeld, he injected himself into the feud, calling Faith No More the greatest band in the universe and taking shots at the Chili Peppers and Kiedis after Flea posted a video of him and Coco the Gorilla.
What is happening?
What the fuck?
What reality breakdown shit is happening in this Wikipedia?
Hey. So I've had my beasts with Coco the gorilla in the past.
Sure, it's just one of the greatest sentient creatures of all time. But
right,
you know, we all beef with it. I did have a minor bit when I was on stage, where I mimed Coco's kitten dying.
Yeah,
dressed up as the Coco's kitten.
Yeah,
just to stick it.
Yeah, just like look at me, I'm all ball. I'm gonna run into the road. Yeah,
I like Robin Williams' nipples. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I cried when I found out Robin Williams died.
Hey Greg, excuse me, sir, you're on fucking Fox News. Why are you talking about Flea's like social media where he posted about like meeting Coco the gorilla? Like, if I met Coco the gorilla, I would post a video of me with Coco the gorilla.
All I would ever talk about.
Yeah, no, it'd be an amazing weird.
And doesn't this feel like a Mad Libs?
It does. It really does. Like, okay, what we need is it's fridge poetry, but with like just random verbs and then the worst people that exist.
Yes. I can't believe that this made me sympathetic to the guy who wrote the album The Uplift Mofo Party Plan.
I mean, I'm getting in the corner for Sir Psycho Sexy, and I can't. Yeah. I'm fucking beside myself.
Would recruit Sir Psycho Sexy to the war.
Become
the squire to Sir Psycho Sexy.
You know, and I hope for God's sake that Mike Patton said, hey, Greg Gutfeld, shut the fuck up. Like,
who even knows? Does he hate Anthony Kiedis more than he, hates Greg Gutfeld?
No, I don't need you rooting for me. You cheapen the entire endeavor by doing this. You're not doing me any favors. Stay in your fucking corner. Like, this is already sad enough. No.
It's really, the whole thing just blew me away this morning. Was just Wikipedia surfing for fun. I've been, my injection, my third injection, and I feel like shit.
Okay.
So I've just been in bed, like looking at my phone, cause it's all I have the energy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so somehow I ended up on the PEPs.
Yeah.
As we
so
often do, So just absolutely bizarre. And I know that Mike Patton has more cred than the Chili Peppers. Like, there are people who are cool and hip who actually like the Peps for some reason.
Right. Yeah. No, I can understand that. Like, if you're going to listen to that kind of music, I'd just be a fan of whoever. This behavior is very discrediting for Mike Patton. I already was just like, not like, let's say not a fan, let's say.
Yeah. It's super not for me. I don't listen to music that sounds like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But like,
it just doesn't sound good to me.
This is if I heard about a friend doing this, like, I'd distance myself like that. Just like, just no. Ooh.
It's real shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and just imagine it was in front of a bunch of people. So imagine the crowd like going nuts.
Yeah.
You know, just like, yeah, stick it to that dead OD guy. And like, hey, you know, addiction's complicated. ODs are complicated.
Yeah.
I don't support the use of drugs. I have a very complicated relationship with people in my life doing drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of drugs in general, and specifically not the hard drugs.
Right,
have their place, but yeah, in a general sense, like, I don't know.
They can create some human shrapnel that hurts people around that person. Yeah, yeah. No, it's complicated.
Some comedian who's like, no one's ever said like that guy got real cool once he got into coke.
Right, right.
Like, it doesn't make you better.
Right. Yeah, it's complicated, but like, I don't know, doing that in public, like, have your beef or whatever, say like, oh yeah, his music fucking sucks and he's a jerk, I don't like him, but like, that particular stunt, like making fun of like Anthony Kiedis for writing a song about you know his own thing, whatever, because if you're making fun of the song, okay, fine, but like the actual dead person, that is a real firm line, you know.
It's real weird. Yeah. And it's very elaborate.
There's so much effort went into that, dear God, Gary.
Yeah, it's just you know what though, I'm looking at the titles of Red Hot Chili Peppers songs and I'm back on Mike Patton's side. I'm surprised too, but like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all called like the Pussy Plan Committee and shit like that. I gotta go.
Yeah, I drew the line at Stadium Arcadium. That's just really bad
combination of things.
Like, it, let alone like it's just like, oh, let's do Californication again. Oops, double album, all Californication this time.
Party on your pussy. Is
the name of the song. Yeah,
Goodbye, your Grinch.
Says amazing things about bodies in space. Fuck's sake, man.
It would cost money, like not tons of money because it's just a song, but I bet you it'd be a real tolerance test to get to the end of the Red Hot Chili Peppers song Mommy Where's Daddy.
Oh,
because I think that Anthony Kiedis talking about his feelings is probably one of the least things I want to listen to the least.
It's pretty rough as also 6-minute track at the end of their most recent album called The Getaway. This track is called Dreams of a Samurai.
Big no.
Yeah. I like that. There are some other ones that are like red flags on here. There's like Sick Love and Dark Necessities. Yeah. I have no idea. Like I've never heard any of these songs. I can make a guess at what they sound like. But Dreams of a Samurai is pretty.
That's really rough.
That's a pretty rough putt to me. Yeah.
Themes of Kiedis' repertoire include love and friendship, teenage angst, good time aggression, which has a Wikipedia citation somehow, various sexual topics, and the link between sex and music.
He's got a song about finger painting with a lady's monthly blood. So,
it's all pretty bad. Like I could just get rid of both these bands and be pretty all right.
I'd be okay. That's fine. But I don't know. In that particular instance, I cannot abide. Could call him Noodle Dick all day, Mike. But like that, you crossed a line, and I think that you need to apologize. I don't care. This was like 20 years ago.
Stadium Arcadium called Warlocks is interesting. is there anything that's aged worse than the cover of Stadium Arcadium?
Oh my god, it's like fucking word art is what it is. Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, what a funny cover. Oh man. I had some step peps I had to get out.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine.
I've been pepped.
God, just 2 hours, two straight, more than 2 hours of pepper music on Stadium Arcadium.
This game is cool.
Yeah. So Corncob 3D, this was demanded by our Patreon backer Picklefax. Picklefax, cool. Stalwart community member Picklefax, really, really enjoy this. I played the heck out of this in maybe 1993, a game I downloaded off of a BBS without realizing that later on it turned into an entire purported game engine. This is a flight sim.
Well, it's a flight. Did you parachute out?
No, I didn't.
It's a flight sim, but they model like the whole world. So if your ship goes down, there's a parachute button.
Okay.
You get out and you can continue them. You can run around on land and go inside these like aircraft hangars to find weird, abstract, like people flipping you off.
Oh, dang. Simcopter kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like this is a weird ass game. Like the UFOs that you fight, will do mind rays on you.
Okay.
They like change what's happening. On the screen and stuff. There's a bunch of cool stuff that happens in this game. Oh. I did not play it at the time. It's 1994.
Yeah.
But it is very neat.
Yeah, no. So I fired this up. I was pretty impressed with it. Like this is early 3D, you know, before like hardware accelerators were really there. So it's only a little bit tough shakes. But like I was pretty impressed with just like the things that I could do, you know, like it was simple enough to take off and get around and fire at stuff. But also there were all kinds of like little controls that would like I could see myself falling into. You know, if I got this at the time, you know, somebody played like the Disney Coaster game and like those weird old semi NASCAR games, you know, where you have buttons for, you know, like the left jet of the windshield wiper, you know, like spray kind of thing. Yeah. So like I went around and I was just like shooting the UFOs out of the sky. It was pretty fun. I didn't even consider that it was possible to do like stuff outside of the plane itself.
You wouldn't. Like it's just they added it and they didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. It's super cool. Like I thought those were all fun. It is just like, you know, Star Fox graphics. So there's not tons to talk about.
Yeah.
In it, and there's not a lot of stuff online about it.
No. They're videos. They're cool videos, yeah. But yeah.
And this engine was used for a lot of things. Like you can see all the different games.
I like the names of the different games here under the, it's the Pie in the Sky engine, is what it ultimately came to be called. But like some of the titles themselves here, Lethal Tender is very good. It's about a guy who's planting bombs in U.S. currency, which is pretty good. It's a little first person shooter. Meltdown, Santa's Rescue 3D, Cyberpunk, and then
Cyberpunk.
and then down in the others, there was one specifically that came to mind. Chubgam 3D.
Oh yeah, Chubgam.
Gary, Chubgam.
Really special. That's also featuring the adventures of Harrier Jet Pilot. Like in no universe would you ever think, and Pencil Whipped, you would never expect this game, Corncob 3D, would be a flight sim,
right? I have no idea what that means.
Like, two things wrong with that title.
Yeah, I've got no idea why it is called Corn Cob. Like, it's just alternate history. Like, what if World War II didn't happen because aliens invaded, you know? So if you're using the kinds of fighters and bombers that we had at that time to go fight aliens, is kind of the premise, which is fine enough as a premise. I have like nothing points to Corn Cob.
No. And like 3D corn cob, boring.
Yeah.
What corn cobs are. Corn cob 3D, fascinating. Like evocative.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it sounds like a modification to the standard corn cob, which is already shockingly 3D.
Very much so, given that it exists in the world. I knew that not enough was going on in my life when my mom stopped at a produce stand and got too much corn and she gave me some of it. And I boiled up some of the corn real good and I cut it off and put some butter on it and all that. And I ate it and I was like, damn, this is some good corn.
Corn is great, dude.
What's that?
I said corn is great. There's a reason why it's like subsidized and in all of our food.
Yeah.
It's because
it
owns.
Right. No, but just like, I just ate a whole corn cob, but like I ate the corn off of a cob and I was like, damn, that's some good corn. That was a good meal. I had other stuff. It wasn't just a corn meal.
as an adult, I've had a couple of corn based meals where corn is the star.
Yeah. You know,
just some corn. I like to make a corn salad. I like corn a lot.
Yeah. Corn salsa is good.
Corn salsa is really good. As you get older, simpler meals like just taste better.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, your taste buds, like I love the taste of water. I'm just like, good water.
Especially cold water. You know? Yeah. Oh man. Ooh. Just like, you know, meat's gotten expensive. So I've just started, you know, just taking a little bit of meat and making just simple dishes with spices, rice and vegetables, just kind of all mixed up together. It's real simple, but it's good. Yeah.
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 Shit's good, man.
Yeah.
It's one of the great things about being older.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to impress myself. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to, I thought you were saying with this tangent, I was going to say, you don't have to worry about us talking about eating unadorned food as impressing anybody.
No. I don't care. I specifically am not trying to impress anybody with all of this really. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
It shan't happen.
Yeah. But I thought, man, that was some good corn. I thought those kids in the military school episode of The Simpsons were right. That was some good corn.
The best joke in that like kind of middling episode.
Yeah,
I always remember that I like it, and it's not actually that good.
No, Company L, but they smell.
Yeah, exactly. Company L, but they smell. Exactly. It's good stuff. Can I just real quick before we round this out, because we have more recording to do.
We do,
and recording's going long today because we had stuff to do. Can I briefly talk about my horrible day yesterday?
Yeah, please do.
We're talking about horrible days.
Yeah.
This was recorded right after the bathroom full of shit.
Yeah. Day. Yeah.
So I went and got my third shot.
Yeah.
My Pfizer booster.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a Pfizer boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Pfizer boy. Straight up Pfizer boy. And, you know, the other times I got in the shot, it was just like in a hospital, you know, like you do. This was in this weird, bottom floor of a parking garage that had been converted into like a FEMA camp.
Oh, thing. Okay.
This mass vaccination event.
Okay. Yeah. That's how I did my first two was a mass vaccination event, like in the 4-H hall at the fairground for my county.
Yeah. Is very similar to that. And it all went fine. Everyone was real nice. Mm-hmm. Real happy. My intent was, I bought from the internet, I bought a hi-fi, like an old 60s, 70s record player.
Okay.
Some guy on Craigslist was selling it. My record player is garbage. Yeah. I like mid-century furniture, and it was $60.
Yes. Yeah, so this is like a hi-fi console kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. A big, beautiful piece of wood. Ooh. That has a working good record player in it with decent speakers.
Oh, cool.
And it was a wife. When I got there, it was like the gender politics around it were very like quaint. Like, okay. It was a wife forcing a man to clean out his man cave.
Ooh, okay.
So it's like a more for Gary. Mm-hmm. But, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get the shot. If it's anything like shot one and two, I won't feel bad until tonight.
Right.
So I'm going to go do that. I'm going to have like a Lyft XL. Do it because I tried to get a ride from somebody in town. I couldn't, and like I do a Lyft XL. I'm like, I'm gonna tip the dude real well, so he helps me like put it in the car, get this to my house, get home, record.
Okay,
you know,
so booster hi-fi home record. Yeah,
yep, that's the idea. And then just I clear the evening. Mm-hmm. Like band practice is usually Wednesdays. I moved it to Tuesday. I was like, I'm being smart.
Yeah. Just like, I've got no idea if there's going to be a bad reaction. I don't want to like disappoint people and make them reschedule stuff. Let's just plan on the next couple of days being a wash. And then there we go. Yeah.
But it'll at least take a couple hours to kick in.
Yeah.
You know, not the case. So, first of all, I have, this Lyft driver who is, it is hard to explain this guy who did me a big solid, like kind of left and right. So I don't want to talk shit about him.
Okay.
But he was like took it as seriously as like, you know how like in The Office Dwight Schrute takes selling paper way more seriously than like,
yeah, he treats it as a calling. Yeah,
that's how this guy treats driving for Lyft.
Okay.
I was like, you got any plans for the holiday? You taking some time off or something? Just making small talk with them. This is before I was feeling sick.
Right.
And he has worked, he has taken 9 days off of the last 750.
Oh my god.
Driving so, Lyft
well over 2 years. Yeah,
two years straight of working every day, and proud of it, like 12-hour days.
Yeah.
And I was like, how long do you work? He's like, from noon to like midnight or something.
Oh, wow.
He has a family and stuff too. It's real wild and bleak.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of making small talk with him, and I had made the mistake because I was in kind of a good mood of starting that faucet. You know, like
you were the one who started the, okay. So you got it going and you got the momentum started and it kind of got away, started rolling downhill from you.
And it didn't stop the entire time.
Ooh.
Two way thing of him telling me all these strategies and how like the secrets that Lyft doesn't tell its drivers, but if you really want to maximize your money, you can do it.
Okay.
And how he'd worked out his per minute, cost, and how he rejects certain rides because they're bad business propositions, and like,
okay,
you know, some people think that's bad, but no business stays in business if they do bad contracts and stuff. Yeah. It was philosophically the opposite of everything that I believe in.
Okay. Yeah.
In terms of employment and like work-life balance. And it was fine. We get there, we load up the thing, we're driving back, and I'm just listening to him talk about Lyft tips.
Okay.
And I start getting sick.
Oh yeah, no, just like that is another wall that closes in on you when the nausea gets started, because you just want to tell, you want to say, hey, I need a minute, but like that is unreasonable. Like, oh, so why does me talking, like, or if you're feeling bad,
cause you nausea? But the way it was I couldn't focus.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I'm getting a little car sick. And him being this like A+ Lyft guy who's very proud of his vehicle, like he didn't. But if I had talked to him long enough, he would have referred to the car as his instrument.
Okay. Yeah.
I guarantee it. Like, okay. I'm a musician and this is my instrument.
Right.
So I eventually, like, I had to have him, and I'd already been like a little, like, I'd been sick earlier.
Okay.
From this, but I assumed it was just like stomach troubles.
But after the shot, but before.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But I just assumed it was just like, oh, this is just me living with my bad belly.
Okay.
You know? So I ended up having to make him stop on the way home to like walk into a gas station, immediately like projectile vomit.
I mean, next to the squishy machine or what?
No. I got to the bathroom, but okay, not good, to the good. Toilet.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Oh no. Oh boy.
Yeah, it was no good. I felt bad about it. But I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm like, I can't, I got a guy waiting outside who has spent, no joke, 45 minutes describing to me how he avoids riders who don't respect his time and how he values his time down to the minute.
You don't want to disappoint Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. I Craig.
Okay, I just made up a name. I didn't want to
find to make up a name, but boy, how did I know this guy's name? So I'm like, I can't like stay here and clean this up, you know? So I'm like, so I leave and I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I kind of made a mess in the bathroom. I didn't mean to, I really apologize. I have to go. And that's like all I could do. And it was shitty. Like, it's not
great
behavior on my part.
Yeah.
My biological, I couldn't not.
You were going to disappoint somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It was a spin the bottle, but reverse.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody sucks. Is going to have to, you know, no good. I get back in the car and then he's helping me like, you know, put the thing in my house. Again, I was like, I'll tip your OL if you do this. And I don't think I've ever been as pathetic as this. Like, I'm falling down trying to lift this thing. Like, I can't stand up. You know, I get it into my house. I immediately like collapse into bed. This is when I texted you and I was like, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to record yesterday because we usually, you know, it was just sometimes every other Wednesday we record and it's just like, we need to scramble. I was like, okay, yeah, that's what we'll whatever, man.
Could not do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. And then like, there's no more story to this. Just me feeling, and I still feel shitty, but just feeling really sick. I had really horrible chills. Like, couldn't, you know, end up putting like every blanket in my house on me and couldn't shop, shaking.
Yeah.
Like, it was, Lisa when she drinks the water.
I am the lizard queen, like that.
Yeah. Like, where she, you know, she's got like the they put the blanket on her and she's there. I'm just like, I can't stop shaking.
Yeah.
And I, at some point before I lay down, I called the nurse hotline. It was like, hey, I just got my third shot and I feel really bad.
Like,
I waited for the observation period and all that jazz. You know, do I need to go to the hospital?
Right.
And she's like, well, watch out for X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
You know, and you don't have to go to the hospital unless those things happen. Just take it easy, fluids, all that jazz.
Yeah.
So that's really the end of the story, but God, it fucking sucked. And I've never been, if somebody were like watching me, like I looked like when I say pathetic, there's no shame in it because it's okay to have a body and it's something
you evoked pathos. Like people, somebody with a well-tuned sense of empathy would want to help you. Yeah.
The Venture Brothers, like a kid with a progeria cracking all his ribs, catching a Nerf football.
Yeah.
Like, it was that kind of thing. Like, I literally was falling down and I'm just like, just a couple more feet. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, saying this and trying to like lift this thing into my house.
Yeah.
And as like my strength rapidly leaves my body.
And this is like 70s, 80s. This is made of wood. It's wood and metal. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's heavy. So then I, you know, got home, was sick a couple more times and then got the chills and then slept for a long time. And I feel well enough to work. Like we've been recording today, but still feel like garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably going to go and crash after this or after the next
time we record. I'm going to lay down and watch Hellraiser 2 on my couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Geez.
It's not, you know, I always hesitate to like talk shit about vaccine stuff. Cause I don't want it to be like, see,
yeah,
that's why you don't get a booster. It's like, no, worth it. Cause I don't want to die. It does fucking suck though.
It's one of those things. It's a little bit damned if you do, damned if you don't. Cause like, you know, when I got my, first two and when I got my second, like I was feeling pretty run down. But it was mostly like fatigue and body ache stuff. I didn't have as bad of a reaction as you did, but I still
I didn't the first two times either.
Yeah. You were fine. So like you didn't have the nausea reaction or the vomiting reaction. Yeah. Mm-mm. It's like, all right. So you've got two different duties. You don't want to provide anything for somebody who is like already either like leaning toward being alarmist about vaccines or like might have disinformation. You don't want to give them anything to like point to and say, look at this. This thing's poison. Additionally, like when I was feeling run down, I basically described it like a vaccine hangover, right? Like that's what it felt like. It felt like I was hungover. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I might like, I want to say this because people should know if they're going to, if they're going to go out and get this thing, like, oh, plan around this and like, understand that like, that's as bad as it's going to get. Right. Like you got people who are saying, oh, you're going to get this and you're going to have a blood clot and your heart's going to stop, you know, within 2 minutes. Right. Like that's kind of the stuff. If people understand like, oh, you're probably just going to feel like you're going to feel like crap for a few hours and then be fine. That is also doing a service to like, make the entire process feel normal, right?
That's the best case scenario. Like that's what you want, you know. And then the scary thing, I was thinking about it because I felt so horrible. I'm like, if I die from this,
oh god,
like that. Not only will that suck because I will be dead, and you know, no afterlife or anything.
Yeah,
I will be dead, but also then I will become a illustration of like. Like my life will be used without my consent after I'm dead.
Yeah, like
by the worst people in the world.
Yeah, like let them like use it and confirm all their stuff. But like, if that was me, the reason I would feel like really, well, I wouldn't feel anything because I'd be fucking dead. but like the injustice of that isn't just that. Like, okay, my death already the people who care about me will be really really sad, and it's gonna be just a whole big problem, but also like that death would contribute however slightly to maybe more people being in danger because it is used falsely as evidence as a case against people getting a shot that has basically no chance of actually giving them a bad, you know, no chance of actually hurting them permanently in a long scale way. And then like, you know, I would not want my death to result in anybody, you know, taking a chance and getting hurt or getting killed or getting somebody else hurt, getting somebody else killed. Like the distribution of like ethical responsibility in this is very complicated because, you know, it's not strictly, you know, like simple inputs and simple outputs, right?
Yeah exactly. It's a lot to think about as I like shivered in bed, struggling to keep a single soft pretzel down. So,
oh God, both of us have thrown up in the past 24 hours. That's ridiculous.
It's been a big throw, a big day for it's coming back.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, in throwing up, out.
All black. Out the contents of my stomach.
So it's no good.
Ah, geez, dude. You should like get a bouquet and like some Mylar balloons and maybe an edible arrangement and take it to that gas station.
I would like to, if I could find the low like the line worker who had to clean that up.
Yeah.
If you happen to be listening,
please.
Reach out and I will order you a Grubhub or something.
Yeah.
Like you got a chalupa coming your way.
Yeah. No, and not the digested one that I left on the bathroom floor.
No, it was like half a bowl of Cheerios.
Oh man.
Cause I was having a bad stomach day. So that was the other thing too, like not to get too specific into it, but like the thing about puking being in that's unfortunate is that like, you know, if you're doing it for non-food related reasons and your body is still like, no, I'm pretty, you're like, hey, you're empty, buddy.
Yeah.
And your body's like, I'm pretty sure there's something still in there. Then it's just going to be absolute hell.
Yeah. You get into the dry heave and then you get the headache from that and you're wrenching your muscles. It's a whole scene. I hate it.
Anything that comes out that's not food is not fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible. I just, I always feel like much better after vomiting.
Oh yeah. No. You
know, so it's like, yeah, it's got that upside to it. But other than that.
Yeah. No, there's a, would not do it again. Half a star. Yeah.
Yeah. Half a star.
Yeah.
No. It's racism.
we can't do 0 stars. Oh man, I'm real sorry that you did that you had that reaction and you got sick. I'm real sorry for that for everybody involved. Ugh.
Yeah, it's no fun. And big shout out to Craig, even though I did give him like a ridiculously generous tip.
Craig's working real hard. Yeah,
Craig's working real hard. Like I was gonna give him a good tip for just like lifting this thing for me, but then having to watch me like literally fall over multiple times trying to get into my house.
Yeah,
it was almost like hush money. Don't report me to Lyft for as being like the saddest, most pathetic wretch. Like, oh, this guy is definitely gonna make you make multiple puke stops and then
yeah,
just make you watch him like you know, write a poem about his high school girlfriend or something.
Right.
Like it's going to be incredibly sad to be around this person.
Yeah. Craig didn't, he didn't sign up for that ride that you took him on.
No. So. Yeah. As much as I had some issues with Craig.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Geez.
Hey, you.
Anyway.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you.
We do.
Yeah. Good crop.
Good crop.
Good objects suffering disease too.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's a, you know, I don't do very much, so it's hard to get stories, but you know.
100%. Like it feels good to have something to talk about.
I know, right?
It doesn't have to be like our normal episodes where I'm like, cool, you ever thought about like a table?
It's like, real weird. Anything on a table is just like temporarily not on the floor. You ever thought about that?
Yeah, it's super weird. It's like, kind of like levitation, but assisted. Like just us trying to riff on bullshit around our house.
just whatever happens to be in view. Yeah.
Yeah. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Please do.
And Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict Reviews, mm-hmm. or telling a friend. Those are the things.
Yeah. And until next time, watch out for COVID. Get your vaccine or a booster if it is available or if it applies to you.
Umbasa.
Public service. Umbasa.